B'shem Hashem na'aseh v'nasliyach, b'ruchim ha'baim rabotai. We continue our study of the Amidah, Tefillat Yudhet. These shi'urim are being studied lezecher nishmat Rabbi David Moshe, zechuto yagen aleinu. Amen. Based on the way we're giving these shi'urim, I think we're up to four or five already, and we just barely concluded the first beracha of the Amidah. I want you to know that there's much more to say. In my notes there's many more tracks that need to be spoken out, but we cannot say everything in the first round. Let's move on to get a flavor of the entire Amidah, and then in round two, once we master the first level, we'll be able to go back and relearn it again. Somebody said, Rabbi, you know, the way we're going with all these Devrei Torah and all these highlights, our Amidah is going to take quite a long time to encompass all these thoughts. I'm reminded of the story of the Hatam Sofer. He himself would pray a very long Amidah. He was known to extend his Amidah. And somebody once came to him and said, in the amount of time that you pray the Amidah, you could have accomplished so many more things in your life. You could have studied two pages of Gemara with Rashi and Tosafot and all the Rishonim. Who knows how many more times you would be able to finish Shas instead of stretching and elongating your Amidah. The Hatam Sofer answered, the Gemara and Berachot already thought of this problem when it said, Kol ha-ma'arich b'tfilato ma'arichim lo yamav, that whoever lengthens his Amidah, they give him long life. So therefore, you won't lose anything. The time that you lost praying a long Amidah, Borei Olam will compensate it and give you long life. So all the things that I wasn't able to do because of my long Amidah, I'll get back in longevity. That's the Gemara Berachot Daf Lamed Bet. Kol ha-ma'arich b'tfilato ma'arichim lo yamav. We are about to begin the second beracha of the Amidah. This is the beracha called the beracha of Gevurot Geshamim, or Gevura. Of course, it starts off with the words Atah Gibor, talking about the strength of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As an introduction to this beracha, there's a perasha, the Torah, and Parashat Ki Tetzeh. The Perashah talks about the mitzvah of Shiluah HaKan. There's a mitzvah if you see a mother sitting on birds or eggs. So the mitzvah is to shoo the mother away and take the eggs, or take the chicks. And the Torah says, the Zohar HaKadosh on this Perashah says all the secrets of Mashiach are alluded to in this story. It says that there's a certain place in the Shamayim called Kansipor, certain area, and over there Mashiach's over there, and he's crying and waiting for the revelation. There's a lot of secrets in that parasha, and one of the things the Zohar HaKadosh mentions is the mother is sitting on the Ifrochim or the Betzim. What's an Ifroach and what's a Betzah? So the Zohar says an Ifroach is a little bird that has wings already, so it's able to fly. Melashon piriha, the froach is to fly. Betzim, he says, they're little chicks yet that they didn't develop their wings, and therefore there's no movement. So they're like a betzah. Just like a betzah is stationary, it cannot move. So these chicks are so small, so they're called betzim because they don't have the ability to fly. The Zohar HaKadosh says, when it comes to mitzvot, the mitzvot that a person does have to be like Ifrohim and not Betzim. That means our mitzvot, specifically our prayers, need wings in order to go up. It's possible that a person could do many mitzvot and many tefillot and study much Torah, but they never get off the ground. They remain on the runway. They don't have the flying power. They don't have the ability to ascend, to the higher levels. A person does not want his mitzvot to be like betzim. His mitzvot have to be like ifruhim. You have to attach wings to the mitzvah, wings to the tefillah. You need them to get out of the midrash and break through the heavens. There was one rabbi, he saw the students learning Torah and praying. So he walked into the room and he complimented them. At least they thought he was complimenting. And he said, "Oh, this room is filled with Torah." And the students were all proud. "Oh, it's filled with Torah. Thank you, Rabbi." He says, "Thank you for nothing. It's filled with Torah because it's not going up. There's no wings on your learning. There's no wings on your tefillah. Therefore the room is filled. There's no chokmah to keep the room filled. You have to get it up there." So the Zohar HaKadosh says, the wings of every tefillah is Ahavat Hashem and Yirat Hashem. Love of God and fear of God. Before we pray, we say, L'shem Yehud Kutcha B'richu Shchinteh. We're about now to combine, and during our service, the holy names of God. Bidhilu Urhimu. Bidhilu Dihilu means Biyir'ah. Urhimu means Me'ahava. When you say that, and you mean it of course, I'm doing this mitzvah, the mitzvah has to change you. There are many people that do mitzvot for their whole life, but they're still the same person. They didn't change. It didn't make them more Yirat Shamayim or Ahavat Hashem. These are mitzvot that are betzim. They didn't go up. The wings, it says, the gadfin, the Zohar HaKadosh language is terend gadfin, the two gadfin, the two wings that need to be attached is dechilu urhimu, ahavat Hashem and yirat Hashem. Otherwise it cannot go up. That's why when we pray the Amidah, some people have a custom to shake. The shakers, they shake forward and then they pull back, and they go forward and they pull back. Rav Shimon Schwab once gave a novel psychological interpretation of the shaking. And he said, when a person comes and stands in front of the Amidah, he has a tremendous Ahavat Hashem. He has a tremendous love of God because he's connecting. And he wants to draw close to Hashem. So his body naturally just draws forward in a bowing. But as he gets close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he sees the awe of God and how great he is, and he says, "Who am I to come so close?" And therefore he pulls back. And then the same urge comes again to him and he goes forward. And then as he gets close, he says, "Oh, I'm too close to the holiness of God," and he pulls back. So he says the bowing is actually Ahavat Hashem, Yirat Hashem. Ahavat Hashem, Yirat Hashem. Ahavat Hashem, Yirat Hashem. It's an exercise in flexing the Ahava Yirat muscles. Just going back and forth. And that's a good kavanah to have in the tefillah. If you find yourself shaking, Yirat Hashem is causing you to shake. Don't pay too much attention if you're shaking or not. Some people are too worried if they're shaking or not shaking, that they don't have kavanah in the Amidah because they're too preoccupied in controlling a natural tendency to shake. If it comes naturally to you, don't be scared. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe could not shake. He stood in front of God like a soldier, but that's fine. And the Chatam Sofer also, when he stood tefillah like a stick. But David HaMelech says in his Tehillim, "Kal atzmotai tomam nehashem." All my bones are going to praise you. It's something that cannot be controlled sometimes. When we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bones are all excited. Everybody wants to sing a song. Everybody wants to get involved. Not only the mouth. So the Kaf HaChaim brings that. Better not to shake. Again, out of kavod, you're standing in front of God. After all, if you were standing in front of a king, you're going to start to bow. But that's really not a good analogy, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows why we're bowing. It's not a bow of disrespect. It's a bow of Ahavat Hashem, Yirat Hashem. Those are the wings. Those are the teren gadfin that you put on the tefillah in order to be able to fly up for the takeoff. Exactly. Another way that the tefillot go up is we need to connect to the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim, it seems they have an easy pass. The tzaddikim have kohot in the shamayim. So when we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but first connect ourselves to the tzaddikim, so they help our prayers go up. They're like an advocate for us, or a milit yosher. The holy Sfarim bring down that under your side, for example, of a big tzaddik. Every day is some your side of a big tzaddik. It's good to know it. Before the tibbeh, you light a candle in memory of that tzaddik, and then that tzaddik now comes and will help you in your tefillah. He'll help you, your prayers go up to be answered, because you went and did something lezechen nishmat tzaddik. Our rabbis tell us as well, when we study Torah, we're reading the words of Rabbi Meir, of Rabbi Shimon, of Hillel and Shammai, of Abaye and Rava, of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yohanan. Anytime you quote the Hachamim, you're connecting to them. Because Siftotav Dovevot Bakever, their lips begin to move in the grave when you say their words. Because their words are connected to their names. When you say Rabbi Meir Omer, just by saying Rabbi Meir, you activate the neshama of Rabbi Meir, and that Devre Torah that came out of Rabbi Meir starts to come out again, and therefore he's saying it with you. You have to know when you're learning, it's not you're learning it alone. The Ba'al of the Ma'amar, the originator of the statement, again from where he is, repeats the statement and says it over again. His lips are murmuring in the kevin, and therefore you've connected yourself to the tzaddik at that moment. That's why the Hakamim said when you study Torah, you have to imagine that the author of the statement is sitting in front of you. Because in a certain degree, he is involved in your learning as well. But in prayer, as a prerequisite to the tefillah, we connect not to the stam tzaddikim, we connect to Avotenu HaKedoshim, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. These are the authors of the tefillah. Just like Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yohanan authored the statements of the Talmud, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they were the originators of tefillah. And therefore, what better wings to get on our prayer than before you pray the Amidah, we need to right away entreat or solicit the help of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. That's why the first three berachot of the Amidah are keneged Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. That's connecting the wings. The first beracha is Magen Abraham. That's Magen Abraham, that's Abraham Abinu. He established Shachrit. The second beracha is Geburah. Geburah is judgment. Judgment is Deen. Deen is Yitzhak Abinu. And the second beracha ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Mehayam Metim. The Midrash writes that Yitzhak Abinu was brought on the Mizbeach by Avraham as a sacrifice, as a human sacrifice. Everybody thinks that it was a failed attempt, that at the end he escaped. But the holy books say no. Avraham slaughtered Yitzhak. It happened. What happened? How is that possible? It says when he was on the Mizbeach, he had a certain neshama, Yitzhak Abinu. Without going into the details, because it's not our purpose tonight, he had a neshama v'nekeva. And all of a sudden, on the Mizbeach, God took his neshama out and he died. And the neshama of this Yitzhak Abinu, God put it in the ram, in the ayin. And God gave Yitzhak Abinu at that moment a certain dew came down, Muridatal, a dew from heaven came down, and Yitzhak Abinu was now resurrected. And therefore he got a second chance with a new neshama. When Avraham Abinu took the ram and slaughtered it, he was actually slaughtering the soul of Yitzhak. And therefore Yitzhak Abinu really was slaughtered on the Mizbeach. And that's why the second beracha, the Amidah, is connected Yitzchak, because we say Morid Atal, Baruch Atah Hashem Mehayeh, and Betim. That's exactly what happened to Yitzchak Abinu when he was on the altar and the third beracha of the Amidah is Ata Kadosh V'Shemcha Kadosh, like the pasuk says V'Higdishu Et Kedosh Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is called Kedosh Yaakov, therefore Ha'el Kadosh is referring to Yaakov Avinu, and we'll elaborate on that when we get to that. So therefore the first three berachot of the Amidah is more business. I need to get Avraham Avinu to pray with me, I need to get Yitzhak Avinu to pray with me, and Yaakov Avinu. So when we're praying the Amidah, Avotenu HaKedoshim are praying with us as well. So what better way to get the Tefillot up, so that when you pray the first Berachah Amidah, you're entreating Avraham Avinu, please help me out, I'm about to ask God for a lot of things that I need a lot of Siyata Nishmaya. Yitzhak Avinu, we're waking up, it's like we're making a trip to Hebron from our spot in the Amidah. We're going all the way to Hebron, we're knocking on the Kibarim, please Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, could you please get up, we need you to pray with us. The Gemara says that if the Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov would pray together in one tefillah, Mashiach would come immediately. That's why it says every morning Eliyahu Navi prays with the Avot. He wakes up Avraham, he prays with him, he puts him back to sleep. He wakes up Yitzhak, he prays with him, puts him back to sleep. He wakes up Yaakov, they say, how come you don't wake them all up at the same time? And Mashiach would come immediately. It's too powerful. But you should know when you're praying the Amidah, to a certain degree that's what you're doing. You're taking Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and you're starting to activate their kohot sitotav dovevot bekever, in order that the prayers will be able to go up. That's the introduction for tonight. It's a good introduction. No, for me it's good. I mean, I'm amazed how many things of inspiration are in this Amidah. Now we get to the Berachat Gibura. The topics discussed in this beracha, if you look at it, it says the word mechayem metim three times. Ata gibor le'olam Adonai mechayem metim ata rav lo'oshiya mekalkel chayim bechesed mechayem metim merachamim rabbim baruch ata Hashem mechayem metim. The Abu Darham explains that the three reasons or the three tehayat metims, number one refer to, the first one is when a person goes to sleep. Mechayem etim ata. God, every night when we go to sleep, we die, and you resurrect us. Muridatal. In the morning, God like brings a dew upon us, the dew of tehayat emetim, and He resurrects us. That's the first tehayat emetim. Mechalkel chayim bechesed. Mechayem etim ata. Mechalkel chayim bechesed. Somech nofim, refechom zeh zekir, shlami chamokam bago, nimlak melech memit, umchaye. What's the language of the beracha? That's referring to the vegetation when the rain comes down. The earth every day is involved in a resurrection, not of human beings, but of vegetation. When you put the seed in the ground, the seed degenerates and it decomposes. If you would dig up the wheat after a few days it's in the ground, you say, where is it? It dissolves. And all of a sudden, tehayat emetim, a beautiful stalk of wheat comes sprouting from the ground. So, mechalkel chayim bechesed. God sustains the people, bechesed, with kindness. How? Mechayem emetim. He brings forth vegetation from the earth, which is a form of tehayat emetim. And the last tehayat emetim is referring to the final resurrection that's going to take place when Mashiach comes, where all the dead, not the sleeping people, the actual people that died are going to rise up. V'ne'eman ata le'hachayot metim. God, you are trusted. We trust you. That what? You are going to, in the future, make tehayat metim. So tehayat metim of the sleeping, tehayat metim of the ground that resurrects the vegetables and the fruits and the wheat, and the final tehayat metim of Yemot HaMashiach. Now, on this beracha, you have to read the Tur. The Tur is in Siman Kuf Yud Dalet. What an introduction it is. You think you're reading like a book from one of the Darshanim. Look what he says. Beracha Sheniya, it's in Siman Kuf Yud Dalet. Beracha Sheniya, ena potacha de baruch. Mepnei shesimucha lechaveteke de pirashti. The second beracha doesn't start off with baruch. because we just ended Baruch Atah Hashem again Abraham. Whenever we have a blessing that ends with Baruch, so the blessing following it does not have to start with Baruch. That's a technical halachic concept. Uminyan tevoteha hamishim ba'ahat. If you count, there's 51 words in this beracha. Kiminyan tevot shel arba'a pesukim shehuzdameh. The beracha is based on four pesukim. He's going to tell you the four pesukim in a second. Those four pesukim have 51 words in them altogether. So since the template of the blessing is four pesukim that have 51 words, the Hakamim chose 51 words. Vehem arba'a pesukim shene'emar bahem maftayach ve'enam nimsarim biyad shaliyach. There are four keys, the Gemara says, that God holds on to those keys. He does not give these keys to a messenger. Ve'eluhen, mafteyach shel geshamim, that's the rains. Nobody can predict when it's going to rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the key. The weather forecasters are the false prophets of the generation. They prophesize every night on the news. So say, the Lord, tomorrow morning, Ko'amar, it's gonna rain. And then the next day it doesn't rain. These are Nevi'i Sheker. Lo tovu lahem ve lo tishme'u lahem. Do not listen to them. Only God controls when it's going to rain. Veshil parnasa, that we know for sure. The key of parnasa, God opens the pipe and closes the pipe. Veshil tehayat emetim, that's the resurrection. With all the technology, they cannot resurrect a dead person. They cannot even resurrect a tomato that wilted, let alone a human being. Veshil chaya, and the womb of a lady, opening of a lady when she gives birth. Again, the doctors can never predict when the baby is going to come out. They can tell you the water broke, it's going to be any minute, and then she can go into labor for 3.5 days. Or the doctor can tell her, go home, you're not ready, and on the elevator, on the way down, the baby pops out. It's all up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has the key. Nobody can predict it. So again, what are the four keys that only God has? You have rain, which is matar, you have parnasa, you have tichayat amitim, and you have chaya. Those four items spell the word mafteyach. Mafteyach is a key. Mafteyach is the shetevot. Matar, parnasa, tichayat amitim, chaya. That's why we call a key a mafteyach, because it has all the four. Now, that's the tour says this. This is not the one of the Darsharim saying. He writes, V'simmanam maftayah. Matar, parnasa, techaya, haya. Now, how do we know God controls the rains? Shel matar, dikhtiv. Yiftach Adonai lecha et otzarato v'et ha-shamayim latet metar artzecha be'ito. How many words in that pasuk? Ubo eslim v'shalosh tevoch. There's 23 words in that. When it comes to parnasa, Poteyah et yadecha, umasbi'a lechohen asod. That's another seven. Shel chaya, by the lady giving birth, it says, Vayiskor Elohim et Rachel, Vayiftach et Rachma. That's 10. Shel techaya, it says, by the resurrection, Vidaltem ki ani Hashem b'fitchi et kivrotechem, uba'aluti etchem b'kivrotechem, ami ubo achat ase tevot. There's 11 tevot. Hare hamishim va'achat. So since the four keys that are alluded to in this beracha, which are based on four pesukim, and all the four pesukim will have 51 words, so therefore we have 51 words in the beracha. Interesting. Now, you need to have a an introduction. This beracha is called the beracha of Gibura. It's connected to Yitzhak Abidu. Ata Gibur. Gibura usually is something that is strict. Dinim. That's why if you look at the fourth word of the beracha, Ata Gibur Le'olam, you see Hashem's name? How is Hashem's name spelled? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Very rarely do we spell God's name like that. Normally we spell God's name Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Because this is the Berakha of Gibura. If you boggle the letters Adanut, it spells Dina. Dalet, Yud, Nun, Aleph. Dina, de Malchuta, Dina. The judgment. And therefore, since it's the Berakha of Gibura, so the Shem that we use is also a Shem of Gibura, Adanut. Now I have to tell you, don't get scared from this beracha. The Shlach Kadosh writes that this Givura is a Givura Metuka. It's a sweet Givura. It's a Givura that is not destroying us. On the contrary, this Givura destroys the Malach HaMavet. Because since the whole beracha is talking about Tehiyat HaMetim, the resurrection, well, how do you have a resurrection? There's a Malach HaMavet. There's going to come a time that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be gover. He's going to use the dinim in order to subjugate the Malach HaMavet, and at that time it's going to be fulfilled the pasuk Bila HaMavet LaNetzach. There's not going to be any more death. Umacha Hashem Demam Al Kol Panim, and there's not going to be any more tears of death, and everybody's going to live. Therefore, this is a givura metuka, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill, so to speak, the killer. The killer is the Malach HaMavet. So this is givura of a metikut. That being said, our rabbis gave us a secret here. Look at the four words. Ata gibor le'olam Adonai. Look at the word Gibor first. You see, there's a dot in the Gimel. Mm-hmm. That dot might not excite you, but it excites me. You might not see it on my face, but I'm very excited when I see that dot in the Gimel. I'm not going to bore you with grammatical rules, but something I have to tell you. What's the letter right before the Gimel? Very good. Ata. Do you know there's a grammatical rule that says like this? Anytime you have beged kefet in the beginning of a word, beged kefet means bet, a gimel, a dalet, a chaf, a pe, or a taf, in the beginning of the word, it always will have a dot in it. Rule, put this in your pocket. Beged kefet berosha mila will always have a dagesh. Unless, there's always an exception, unless the letter that comes before it is heavy. An aleph, a he, a vav, or a yud. That's what you have to know now. So again, now you know the rule. Every time you see beged kefet in the beginning of a word, dot. Unless it's followed, or unless it's preceded by otiyot ehvi. Got the rule? Okay, now you're going to ask a question, Rabbi. Then what's this dot doing over here in the Gimel? That's why I said it excites me. Because I see a here, I know the rule ehvi, so I'm expecting it to be a Gimel without a dot. Now you're going to say to yourself, what's the difference? A Gimel with a dot, a Gimel without a dot. Well, if you're a Sefer Adi, there's a big difference. We say, with a dot, Gimel, go. Without a dot, it's Gimel. It's a different letter. It's like an Israeli resh. That's how we say a Gimel without a dot. That's for sure. So now, you're going to tell me, Rabbi, what happened to the grammatical rule? So I got to give you another rule. There's more rules to explain it. That which I told you, that if there's an Evi, and then there's a beged kefet, that there's a dagesh, that's only if there's no pause between the words. But if there's a comma after the first word, so therefore it's broken. There's no connection. They're not next to it. The right way to read this beracha, which most people read it wrong, is the following: Ata. pause. Is there a comma there?
There's no comma here.
This one has a comma.
Zalka Baruch. So now everybody.
This
Honey, don't give excuses for your sidur. This sidur over here has a comma. But my friend, you understand the value of this comma now? Before you came to this class, doesn't bother you, this comma. This comma over here is explaining you the dot in the gimel. And it's explaining you the explanation. What does it mean? Atagibon le'olam Hashem. What does it mean? You read it like this. Ata. You are what? Gibor le'olam. Gibor is connected to le'olam. Your strength is forever. A regular strong person, after he gets older, his strength fades away. He becomes weak. He becomes tired. Ata, you God, gibor le'olam. Your gibura is forever. 5,000 years later, Borei Olam is just as strong, and 5 million years from now, Gibor Le'olam. It doesn't fluctuate. It's the same Gibura. You don't read it, Ata Gibor. Ata Gibor what? Le'olam Adonai? Le'olam Hashem what? Doesn't mean anything the way you read it like that. Hence, the dot in the Gimal was tipping us off how to read it. Ata Gibor Le'olam. Who is Gibor Le'olam? Hashem. Good. If you understand that, now I can tell you the secret that I wanted to tell you. Look in your Sidurim, you might have it. Mm-hmm. Right after it says, Ata Gibor Le'olam Adonai, you see a Rashi Tevot. Mm-hmm. Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph. You see, that's the Rashi Tevot of Ata Gibor Le'olam Hashem. You see this four words there? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see right next to it, it says Rashi Tevot Aleph Gima Lamed Aleph.
It says it before in this book.
Does the Hazan have to read it that way, Rabbi? Or as long as it's written that way?
I don't understand.
Gibor Le'olam.
Of course. No, the Hazan should read it wrong.
I don't know any Hazan that reads it. Ata Gibor Le'olam. So maybe
the Hazanim are right, and what I'm saying is wrong, which I tell you. It's a free country, Ani. You don't have to listen to what I'm telling you. You want to follow the Hazanim? Follow the Hazanim. Go to Hazanut class. This is the Tefillah class. You're coming to learn things you know already or things that you don't know?
Things we don't know.
Somebody came to class once and said, "Wow, I don't believe it. I didn't know that. Hazaka Baruch Hatta. That's what you came for. You wanna, and then what? You can't win. And then you tell them something they know. Rabbi, I know everything already tonight. So you can't win. You tell them they don't know. Oh, I never knew that. You know it, they know it. So what do you want? You can't win.
Never heard of you.
Well, good. That's what you came to class for. Now, Rashi Tevot, Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph. You see that Rashi Tevot over? That's one of the names of God. Don't say it. It's a name of God that comes from the Rashi Tevot of these words. They wanted this Shem to be in this Beracha, and that's why, by the way, the name of God over here has to be written Aleph Dalet. Because otherwise you're not going to have the Rashi Tevot. Mm-hmm. If they would have wrote Yud Keh Vav Keh, it would ruin the whole Rashi Tevot. Mm-hmm. What is the Shem? This Shem is the same letters as the word Igal. Igal means I will redeem you. Since this Beracha talks about Tehiyat HaMetim, which is going to happen at the time of the redemption, so therefore they gave us a Shem that has to do with redemption. Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph Keneged Igal, and therefore it's the Shem of the Geula. One day we'll go together through certain names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are 216 letters that form 72 three-letter names of Hashem. Understand what I just said? There are three pesukim in a row that have 72 letters each. In making different configurations, the first word of the first pasuk, and the last word of the second pasuk, and the first word of the third pasuk, it spells a three-letter name of God, and you do that 72 times. And you get 72 three-letter names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the 72 times, is Aleph Lamed Dalet. It's Hashem. Aleph Lamed Dalet equals 35, which is the numerical value of Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph, which is also 35. So this Shem over here is connected to one of the holy names of that configuration. Where's the root in the Torah of this name? Where did this come from? Didn't start with the Amidah. If you bring me a Chumash, if you don't mind, I'll show you where this name is written in the Torah. If I were to tell you, no, it's got to be written somewhere that talks about the Geula, because this is the Beracha of Tehillat HaMetim. Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph is Igal, so it's got to be written. If I were to guess, where's Geula going to be written? Who's the Goel? Well, the ultimate Goel, David HaMelech, Mashiach. From where does he come from? From Yehuda, right? So I'm getting hot. So you know what? Let's take a shot. Let's open up Parashat Vayechi, where he's blessing Yaakov is blessing Yehuda. Yehuda is Mashiach. That's the Messianic tribe. I would love if we could find an allusion to this Shem in that section. Well, look at this.
What do you know?
When Yaakov is blessing his son Yehuda, first of all, he blesses him in a certain order of Pesukim. He calls him Yehuda. That's introduction. And the Pasuk begins, Ata Yoducha Achecha. Ata starts with Aleph. The next Pasuk is Gur Arye Yehuda. That's a Gimel. The next Pasuk is Lo Yasur Shevet Mihuda. That's a Lamed. And the next pasuk is Oseri Lagefin Iro, that's an Aleph. The four pesukim that Yaakov blesses Yehuda, which is Egal, that's where the Mashiach comes from, coincidentally has the Rashi Tevot Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph. This is where the rabbis took this introduction to the Berakah that talks about the resurrection and the coming of the Mashiach in this Pasuk over here. Oh! If that's true what I'm saying, we might have another answer why the Gimel of Gibor has a dot in it. Because the Gimel of Gibor corresponds the second Pasuk of Gur Aryeh. Now, what's the rule of Beged Kefet in the beginning of a word? Beged Kefet in the beginning of a word has a dot. And this is the beginning of a Pasuk, so there's nothing before it. Therefore, we put a dot in this Gimel to allude to you that it's corresponding the Gur Aryeh of the Pasuk that has a dot in it. That's why the dot gets me very excited. Because the dot is telling me over here, maybe grammatically it doesn't belong. But Keneged the Gur of the second Pasuk of the Berachav Yehuda, that's why it has it. So that's again very, very important to know when it comes to that. Now, I know many of you came here for words, for Webster's definition of the Amidah. But I'm not going to do that. You can go somewhere else for that. We came here to give concepts. Oh, so now I know when I'm starting the second beracha of the Amidah, I just said Magen Abraham. I finished with Abraham. Now I want to awaken Yitzhak Avinu. Tehayat Emitim, he was on the Akedah, he was resurrected by the Murid Atam. Oh. And right away, God, I want to awaken the sweet Givura. The Givura of God's strength that's going to kill the Malach HaMavet. So right away in the beginning I say first, Ata, pause, Gibol Olam. Your strength is forever. Whose strength? Hashem. And I think of the Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph, which is the shame of the Geula, which comes from the four Pesukim of the Beracha of Yehuda. I think of the 51 letters in the Beracha, 51 words of the Beracha. Keneged, the 51 words of the four Pesukim that talk about the different keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds, which one of them is Tehayat Temetim. But now, since this is the Berakah of the resurrection, we must read something about the resurrection. You cannot get a full appreciation of this Berakah unless you know what I'm going to read to you now. I'm reading to you from a rabbi called of Shimon Aharon Agassi. He was from the Gedolei Rabbanei Bavel. He wrote a Sefer Oveh called Yesodei Torah, where he explains the 13 principles of our faith. One of the 13 principles, actually number 13, צריך להאמין באמונה שלמה שהשם יתברך עתיד להחיות את המתים. You must believe in the resurrection of the dead. ואין הכוונה שיברא אותם בריאה חדשה. It's not that he's going to recreate them. אלא תחייה, כלומר, meaning, it's going to be a resurrection. שאותו הגוף בעצמו, that body that died, that exact body, יעמוד ויקום בתחיית המתים. כמו שהיה בעולם הזה קודם שמת. The way it was before it died. Now, והגם שהגוף, לאחר שנקבר בארץ, even though the body after it's buried in the ground, הנה הוא נרכב, it decays, וחלה בשרו. Its body decomposes, its flesh, עד שובו על יסוד האפר, it turns back into dust. כמו שנאמר, כי עפר אתה, ואל עפר תשוב. ויתר על כן, furthermore, שפעמים נחלש הקבר, sometimes the grave is plowed upon, and stepped upon, ונתפזרו עצמותיו לכל עבר. The bone fragments fly all over the place. והרוח נסעת עפרו לארבע רוחות העולם. It's possible that the dirt that is now a composite of the decayed body, the dirt could be all over the world. O bar minan, shushluchu harbe metim biyahad letoch bor. Sometimes many dead corpses are just thrown together in one pit and they all decompose together.
Like in Germany.
Like in Germany, yimach shemam v'zikram. Or like in times of war. V'chama v'chama yu ma'achal de'of ha'shamayim. Or what about when the birds come and God forbid eat from the body? Or let's say they're thrown in the oceans where the fish get to it or the water decomposes it. U'ma'ata, he says, ayye sofer. Who's going to count the dust to know exactly which part belongs to who to put it back together? So he says, Mikol makom, this is the key, Moshel begvurato olam. Borei olam is gibor. He controls the whole world. Lo zeroa im giborei has the power libror vele'esof ulkabetz kol chelke he'afar shel guf ze levad. He could go collect the individual dust that belongs to the individual body. V'shel guf ze levad. With no additives. Gam im yunid chayim ba'arva ketzot ha-shamayim o ben shine arayot. Even if the body was devoured between the teeth of a lion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows where the entire body is and will collect the dust from the arba kafot ha-ares. Ve'lo od ela she'afilu be'oto guf atzmo. Even in that person's body, חלקי העפר הבאים מן העין יחזיר אותם גם כן לעין. The dust that came from the eye will go back to the exact spot in the eye. It's not that it's just going to collect the dirt and then recreate it from... No! It's going to be recreated exactly from the same spot. The puzzle is going to be put together, the same pieces where they were, to the micro millimeter. וחלקי עפר האוזניים, לאוזניים, לידיים, לידיים, ורגליים, לרגליים. ולא יתערבו חלקי עפר, עבר זה בעבר אחר, אפילו כמלא נימה. Not even one speck of dust is going to get mixed up to a different spot. ולא זו בלבד, not only that. אלא אפילו אותו עבר עצמו, even on the limb itself. כל חלק וחלק דק שבו הוא חוזר לטרוב למקומו הראשון. If the dust was at the beginning of the Eved, it'll be at the beginning of the Eved. It was at the end of the Eved. It's not just going to be a rough composite. It's going to be exact. גידים, עצמות, הכל חוזר על מצבו הראשון ולא ישתנה כלל למה שהיה בחיים. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a magnet that he takes the magnet and it draws all the halakim of every goof and it just puts it back the way it's supposed to be. Now watch this. Lo haguf amet bilvad atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'ayot. The body is not going to come back alone. Ela gam kin et levusham. Ask yourself a question. Why do we make it necessary to bury with clothes on? The burial with shrouds is a proof that there's going to be a resurrection. If we didn't believe in a resurrection, what are you dressing them for? You're putting them under the ground. They have to be dressed. It's because what's going to happen? One day there's going to be Tihiyat HaMetim. Now, you know how many people are going to come up to be resurrected in one day? Millions and millions of people. Where are you going to find so many tailors to make suits? The people have to be standing online without any clothes on until the guy makes them all the suits in Macy's and in Bloomingdale's and in how many suits? They're going to be not enough to supply all the demand. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipated that already. He said, you know what? You better go in with your clothes already. And don't worry, I will guarantee that those clothes will remain with you. So therefore, there's going to be, everybody's going to be wearing the white suits when they get up in Tehillat HaMetim. Everybody's not going to, there's not going to be any jealousy. Everybody's going to have the same white tachrichim. You're going to see everybody walking in the street with their white suit on, like the Mekubbalim. Everybody's going to be perfect. This is exactly why they're buried like that. It has to be tzniut, of course.
What about our palace?
Now, when it's going to happen, that's already machloket amongst the hachamim. That we don't. We just need to know it. Now, listen to what he says here. Be'olam en a neshama chozer letok haguf bet atechaya ela be'eris Yisrael dafka. The resurrection, where God's going to put the neshama back into the guf, specifically happens in Israel. ולא בחוץ על הארץ, but not outside. ומתי חוץ על הארץ הזוכים נתנה בדות צדיקים that are buried outside of Israel, that will merit a resurrection. הנה לאחר שנתנקם גופם, after their body comes back together, נכנס פה חיות קצת. God's going to give them just a little electricity, a little life. עד כדי שיוכלו לעמוד על רגליהם, just they could stand, וללך דרך מחילות. They're going to have to walk in tunnels הנעשות להם תחת הקרקע. There's going to be underground tunnels from Staten Island all the way to ירושלים עד שמגיעים לארץ ישראל. ושם ניתנת בהם נשמה. Over there, when they get there, they'll have the... Now hopefully they changes to airplanes, hopefully. That this I didn't get the upgraded version of this book. But the Gemara says it's tunnels. I don't know, you have to walk for a long time. לכן, ישתדל כל אדם לקבוע דירתו בארץ ישראל, לפחות לעת זקנותו. At least when he gets older, he should move to ארץ ישראל. כדי שיעמוד תחילה בתחיית המתים. You want to get up right away. You don't want to have to go now and take a trip in the battery tunnel from here to Eretz Yisrael.
Here's your answer.
Now, but you see what the rabbi said. He didn't say be buried in Israel. Go live in Israel at the end of your life. The rabbi feels probably that Israel is insulted. The whole life, he goes to Aruba, he goes to Miami Beach, he goes to the Behemot. He goes to all the different places. And when does he go visit Israel? In a coffin. So Israel comes along and says, "That's when you come to visit me in a coffin, not when you're alive." Busha. Well, it is a cemetery. So therefore, he says, at the end of one's life, it's proper to move there. So at least he gives kavod to Eretz Yisrael in his life. Then the land takes him. Kol hakofer b'tchiyat hametim. Anybody that denies anything we just said? Sheomer she'en hametim atidim. Nah, there's no such thing as resurrection. Or afidu shum modeh u'ma'amin. He says, I believe. Ela shomer she'en lad l'tchiyat hametim menem es b'Torah. But he says, you know what? It's going to happen, but it's not written in the Torah. Harei zeh nekra kofer ve'eno kam b'tchiyat hametim. That's going to be his punishment. If you don't believe in it, it's not going to happen. ואין לו חלק לעולם הבא וכל המאמין הוא זוכר לעמוד לקץ הימים ולראות בטוב השם ארץ החיים. So at this ברכה, when you say the ברכה, every time you say מחיים מתים, it's a good moment to reconfirm I believe in all this. ברוך אתה השם מחיים מתים, you are going to resurrect. It's a good moment to reconfirm that you believe in the 13th principle. And then those that believe, as the rabbi said, Ya'amdu leketz ha'yamin l'ot b'tuv Hashem b'eretz ha'chayim. Baruch Hashem le'olam. Amen. Amen.